the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. It's transfer deadline day. Sam Bridges and the editor of the 72.co.uk, Tom Condon, will be keeping you up to date for the next hour, just in case your club finally makes that transfer you've been waiting for. We'll have all the regular features as well. Yorkshire News will look at, well, all the fallout from a busy FA Cup weekend. We'll have even more transfer news and gossip as well. Tom is going to be kept very, very busy. We'll have good days, bad days too. The 30-second coil as well. And we'll be looking ahead to tonight's action as well as Barnsley host Wolves at Oakwell, looking to make it 3 wins on the bounce. Rotherham, they're away to strugglers Nottingham Forest. We'll have Bobby Beavers, in fact, joining us from the City Ground. And Sheffield Wednesday, they're on their travels as well to Bristol City as they look to push further into the playoff mix. Looking forward to it. It's transfer deadline day. Let's bring it on. What have you got, Tom Carnduff? Tell you what, you wouldn't see Jim White just casually walk into the studio on transfer deadline day. He'd be pounding in here, he'd be sweating.
Calm, composed. I saw one out the Facebook Live. That's my excuse. Yes. I saw one out the Facebook Live. We're live on Facebook.
Yes, live on Facebook and YouTube as well tonight. So adding in an extra element there, Tom. So you're always moving forward. So yeah, the Tom Carnduff Brigade can all go and join in. As usual, on Facebook, ask for your shout-outs and et cetera, whatever you want from Tom. I'm sure we'll be able to deliver it later in the show, and hopefully we'll be delivering us plenty of transfer news as well across the next 60 minutes. I'm just going to keep coming to you for transfer news.
Transfer
so you
news.
Need to be on the ball tonight. Right. It's no okay. Good being calm and composed.
I'm pumped, I'm psyched, I'm ready to go.
At any time, could be
just
crossing live to you.
Bam, transfers, right.
And there's been quite a few so far today.
There has.
It's quite busy across the Football League.
There has, yeah. I think most recent kind of big transfer news to break is, of course, that Jordan Rhodes to Sheffield Wednesday. I think a figure of £10 million has been mentioned to make that a permanent one. Of course, Rhodes, a player that Wednesday seem to have been chasing forever.
Yeah, it's a bit of a saga, that one,
yeah,
isn't it? It's kind of gone on and on.
It's finally going to come to a conclusion. And Wednesday going to add another striker to that already.
Another one? Are we expecting anyone to go out?
Well, of course, they've Zhao left and joined Blackburn on loan. But in terms of outgoings, it's not clear if anyone else will kind of be shifted along and move. So, I don't know. Like I said, with Andy Lawson just before came on air here, that whether they're going to go for that 1-2-7 formation, I'm not too sure. But yeah, Jordan Rhodes, that's the big kind of transfer news that is breaking at the moment. And there's also been reports that Leeds might get a striker in Lewis Graben on loan from Bournemouth. Of course, Eunan O'Kane was a deadline day deal from Bournemouth last window. So whether they're calling in kind of a favour from Bournemouth again, I'm not too sure. But those kind of the two latest stories to be coming out.
Yeah, would you be happy with that one as a Leeds United fan?
I think so. I think the Ashley Fletcher deal was kind of perfect, because you're going to bring someone in who, okay, won't play but won't really mind not playing, if you get what I mean, that they'd be happy to come off the bench. Whether Graben's going to be happy enough to fill that role, if it does come about, it remains to be seen. But yeah, I think for what Leeds need, it would be a good addition if they do get it done before 11 o'clock.
And Leeds already making one signing today already.
They have, yes. Again, like Sheffield Wednesday and forwards, Leeds United and wingers. Now, they've been linked with another move for a Swansea winger, but yeah, brought in someone from Villarreal. And again, he looks a very good player, but it's all a case of, I suppose, quality is good. But for me, I just can't help but feel Leeds maybe do need to bring in someone on the defensive side just to kind of reinforce that defence. But regardless, it's good to see that Leeds are making moves and they are going to try and make the most of being in the position that they are in the league.
Yeah, it was a bit of a concern, I think, for some people last week watching Gary Monk's interview ahead of the Sutton game, when, of course, Alex Mowat went to join Barnsley, and he was kind of saying, well, it's the club you need to be asking. You know, they wouldn't have done this if they weren't hopeful we were going to get the players that we were going to get. But a few people were concerned by that interview, that it seemed like maybe he it was not him in control, which it's not really, but in terms of his awareness, maybe he was playing it down, but there was a little bit of concern that Leeds weren't going to get the targets and they maybe let one go prematurely.
It's good to see that, you know, that the club seemed to have been moving a bit after that and moving quite quickly as well, because you're looking at Ashley Fletcher, where I think they've been banking on him to come and it's taken this long now. The Scott Hogan deal, you know, I think the sale of Dimi Payet to Marseille was kind of the start of that domino effect where they then bring in Hogan, which would allow Fletcher to join Leeds. But yeah, I think the Alfonso Pedraza deal, that's kind of come around quite quickly. It seemed to be yesterday that this name was mentioned, so I think Leeds have shown that they can get deals done quickly. But I just hope it's kind of not panic decisions and these are players that they do genuinely want and will add that quality to the squad.
And of course, you always do your research diligently, Tom. What do we know about this incoming player? Do you know much about him at all?
In terms of the Villarreal winger, Pedraza? Yes, he's highly rated. Only 20 years old from Villarreal. They've had to actually pay a 300k fee to recall him from another Spanish side. He was on loan, so whether they feel he'll benefit more from a loan at Leeds, it's not too sure. And if Leeds do go up, they will have a reported option to buy. That is dependent on Leeds going to the Premier League, so it's unclear whether he will stay if Leeds don't secure promotion. But he looks a very good player. He's contributed. I think he's got a few goals and a few assists as well in the Spanish second league. So he looks a good signing on paper. Again, he looks good on YouTube, but then I suppose most players do. So I'm not going to sit and pretend to be a Spanish football expert, but on paper it does look like a good signing for Leeds.
What did you make of the result? We'll crack on now with Yorkshire News and the rest of the show. What did you make of Sunday's FA Cup exit to non-league Sutton? A difficult place to go with the weather and the plastic pitch, as it were. I know it's a little bit better than a plastic pitch these days, but plenty of changes for Gary Monk's side. Were you happy with what he did there? Would you have expected him to do have a more experienced lineup?
I can understand why it was done, because as even Monk said, we've got the game against Blackburn coming up tomorrow for Leeds, so I can understand why so many changes were made. But at the same time, like Neil Redfern said after the game to Mark Wilson, that Whitehouse and Mackay as well, I don't think they're two of the better players in that youth academy, so I think their starts were quite surprising. But it just highlighted that kind of worrying lack of squad depth for Leeds, where you look at the squads around. We spoke about Sheffield Wednesday just in their endless amount of strikers. Their squad is massive, and for a promotion running, that's what you need. That if you do pick up injuries, you do have reinforcements there, and it kind of highlighted that for Leeds, that, well, we've got a league game, so we need to make changes. On paper, I think that team still should have beaten Sutton. But, you know, of course, fair play to Sutton. They really showed up. They really played well. But I think that was the main thing for me. It did highlight that lack of depth within that lead squad and that worrying lack of depth as well, and that the squad's not really there if you are going to want to mount a serious promotion push in the long run.
Of course, heading to Blackburn tomorrow, live, of course, here on Radio Yorkshire from 7. Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern, Andrew Stats Dalton in the chair for that one. Of course, we'll talk about Blackburn as we do as ever on the show a little bit later on. Huddersfield, though, in stark contrast to Leeds, a great result for them and a fantastic cup draw. Now the only Yorkshire team left.
Yeah, definitely. And again, even they made changes, and luckily for them, they managed to see off Rochdale, who would lead his kind of last upset in the Cup, I believe, under Brian McDermott. So, very positive performance, very convincing victory as well. And like you said, what a tie. That is a good chance to kind of advertise themselves, that they could well be Premier League quality if they do put in a good performance against Man City. But I think Aaron Moy won't be eligible to play in that one against his parent club, and that'll be a big loss. But regardless, it's the Cup. You know, anything can happen, and they are a good football team, so hopefully it should make for a good game.
Yeah, some really good cup ties in the FA Cup draw. Was that the pick for you, or
I think so. I think
non-league.
I think Sutton getting Arsenal is massive, and it was good. It's at Sutton on that pitch. A lot's been made of this artificial pitch, and Leeds have slipped up, Wimbledon have slipped up, you never know. But for me, it was good that no Premier League teams got drawn against each other. So that's always a positive. But yeah, the Sutton Arsenal fixture really stands out, and you know, fair play to them that they have got this far. Now they really do get to test themselves against one of the best in the country. So for me, I think that's the obvious standout draw.
Transfer news on the fly. That's crossed
transfer
the top.
News on the fly.
What's
where should we go?
In the last 5 minutes.
Should we go to Bolton? Adam Lafondra has rejoined Bolton on loan. He'd been at Reading, but he's recalled by Cardiff to then go and sign for Bolton. Seems to be a bit of a trend.
Move around.
Yeah. But yeah, he's been on loan previously, and yeah, back to Bolton. So Lafondra, who, you know, he was an outstanding striker for Reading in that Premier League season and the promotion push to Premier League. Hopefully we'll be helping Bolton on their way up to the Championship.
Yeah, an interesting one that obviously we've talked quite a lot about Bradford City and their lack of goals, but Bolton as well, the lowest scorers in the top six. So Phil Parkinson, they're trying to address that issue where they've only scored 36 goals this season. In fact, they're level now, Bradford and Bolton. They've scored 36 goals, and that's by far the lowest in that top six in the promotion race in League One.
Yeah, same problem Phil Parkinson kind of had with Bradford last season. And for Bolton as well, with Zach Clough reportedly could be on the way out. £2 million bid from Nottingham Forest, I think it is. So he could be departing before the 11 o'clock deadline. Someone like Lafondra, I suppose, is a proven goal scorer, will be very good at League One level as well. And if you're going to get promoted, as obvious as it sounds, you do need to score goals. So, yeah, really positive move. And, you know, if they can keep hold of Clough as well, it might be a bit of a big ask. Then I think, you know, the goals should come with those two together.
Indeed. Anything else that you've spotted there or not before we move on?
Should we go one more? Ravel Morrison has returned to English football with
what?
Queen's Park Rangers. Yeah, he's agreed a loan move from Lazio with a view to a permanent switch in the summer. I think he was linked to quite a few Championship clubs this January window, but has returned to, finally come back to England to play for QPR in the Championship. So should be an interesting one to see how he gets on and if he can really kick on from there.
Yeah, would you be inspired by that one if you were a QPR fan? They've had a lot of supposed troublemakers in the past. The club seemed to have attracted them, and Ravel Morrison obviously comes with quite a few issues, a lot of baggage.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, really. Whether the manager they've got there is quite, he's got a good character, I think it's fair to say, about him. Whether he can really, you know, put his focus in, get him in check, and I'm not sure. I think from a footballing aspect it's good, but like you say, you don't know what character and what type of person he's going to be around the team.
Yeah, especially when he's joining a side in the Championship who are currently 17th. If you look at their last 10 games, only 3 wins in there. That was 3 wins in a row that they've had. They've had 6 defeats in that period as well. So he's not kind of the man for the fight, is he, Ravel Morrison?
Yeah, it's like I said, from a footballing aspect, it could well be a good decision to bring in. Like you said, they're struggling in the league. It's difficult to say. Of course, I think it's going to be down to how Holloway can manage him and whether they can just get him fully focused on playing football. And, you know, it's a shame because he's not exactly getting on massively. He's still quite young, really, and there's got to be the talent there for the clubs he's been at previously. It's whether QPR can finally kind of unlock that talent and for him to kick on. So should be interesting to see in the next few weeks and couple of months.
Yeah, Ravel Morrison moving to QPR. Let's get back to the Yorkshire stuff. There was action in the Championship, both sides out already. Barnsley and Rotherham, a South Yorkshire derby. And, well, Rotherham beaten again. And Barnsley now within a point of the playoffs.
Fantastic, isn't it? I don't think they want to get carried away at Barnsley, but
would you be if you were a Barnsley fan?
I would be. Of course, we've spoke about it before. You go back to the first half of last season. So in a year, they have secured promotion, they've won at Wembley twice, and now they're a point off the Championship playoffs. It's all positive. They're bringing players in as well who, like Alex Mowat, for me, he was fantastic at Leeds. He got kind of forced out the squad a bit recently, and whether, like Tom Lees at Leeds, whether that move will help him kick on, I'm sure it will, but you know, a point off the playoffs with still quite a lot of time to play. Who knows? It's all positive there. And if they can keep that momentum going, they could well break in. And, you know, again, they keep winning like they did at the weekend against the Rotherham side, who, we say this every week, they are struggling. But regardless, Barnsley still got the 3 points and could be an outside contender, but a real contender now to maybe break top six.
And in action tonight against Wolves, obviously Wolves buoyed by a fantastic win in the FA Cup at the weekend. But if they can get a win tonight, obviously some of the teams not in action, Sheffield Wednesday are, and you know you would think that they would probably get a win, but it's they're going to really put pressure on if they can get a win against Wolves tonight.
Yeah, but it's going to be difficult, I suppose, Wolves with that win at Anfield. I think they announced quite a good season ticket offer, I'm not quite sure. I didn't quite see the offer myself, but a lot of Wolves fans are quite positive about it. And then of course Helder Costa as well, signing for £13 million at a club record fee. The fans wanted it, the owners have kind of shown their commitment to it, so it's all positive at the moment. And it's not going to be an easy game for them to play, but like you said, with other teams not playing, it could be a fantastic opportunity to really kick on. And Wednesday away from home, you never know, so it could be a great opportunity for Barnsley, like you said, if they can get the win.
Fantastic for Barnsley at the moment. We'll preview tonight's action a little bit later on. Bradford City, they're in action at the weekend, beating Oldham thanks to a second half winner, and they'll be relieved because a lot of draws in the last half, 3 points in the bag.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it seems to have been a shed ton of draws for them this season, and that's kind of, I think that's kind of formed that gap between them, and I think it's what, 8 points, I think, between them and second place. So,
13 draws in the league, that's more than
it's impressive,
won.
Isn't it? It's impressive. Like you said, the two problems really are goal scoring and actually winning games, and maybe that's linked in with the lack of goals, I'm not too sure. But regardless, to get a win against Oldham, who, okay, they are struggling, but they're on a bit of a mini revival in recent weeks because they got that fantastic win against Peterborough. They beat Gillingham a couple of weeks before that, so to go away from home and secure the victory, it's a great result. And I don't want to say that they're going to push for top two or they're going to break into the top two because of the gap, but of course if you keep winning then you never know, and as long as the positive results keep coming then they could well push that top two going to May.
Indeed, is it a concern or is, which camp do you fall into when you look at Bradford? A couple of teams didn't play at the weekend in that top six. Rochdale, the team below them, but they now do have two games in hand, Keith Hill's side, 4 points away from Bradford. You think they'll be quite happy that they've got the points on the board?
I think so, yeah. It's great having games in hand, but of course they've got to then win those games in hand, as silly as it sounds, that the pressure really is on Rochdale to get the results now. And I still think playoffs would be a great achievement for Bradford. Okay, I imagine they would have wanted to secure automatic. They still can, not saying that the season's over, not by a long way. But Sheffield United, of course, they're kind of always favourites to secure promotion or win the league. And Scunthorpe, fans are optimistic this season. Of course, Bolton coming down as well, there's competition there. So if they can get playoffs, you would imagine them to be a strong contender in the playoffs as well. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? There's a long way to go still. And I think they've got the quality to really push towards top two. But with the gap, whether they can do it, I'm not too sure.
We've got a surprise guest. Ooh. That's on the line. We'll be joined by Bobby Beavers a bit later on. He's at the City Ground for Rotherham's game against Nottingham Forest. But Naz Premji, just speaking of Barnsley, he's over at Oakwell. Good evening, Naz.
Good evening. Happy Jordan Rhodes Day, everyone. Hey. Brilliant news. It's the best news I've heard all day. I can confirm as well, Lewis Grabban is on his way to Elland Road for a medical.
Ooh, that's very, very interesting.
Indeed. So Mikey Broomhead, who's watching on Facebook, asked what's happening with Jordan Rhodes. Must have missed the start of the show, but
Jordan Rhodes.
Happy with the signing, Naz?
Oh, absolutely delighted. Absolutely delighted. And I knew it was going to happen from the beginning of December. It's just been posturing and pandering. And basically, the deal was in place well in advance of the window. And Middlesbrough, I think the deal was, Middlesbrough said, if somebody comes in with more money, we'll sell him to them. Nobody has. And Villa have gone and signed Scott Hogan for a little bit more. So I think the player always wanted the move as well. I don't think he ever wanted to go to Villa. And he's going to be joining his old man. And he's going to be joining a promotion push. And hopefully scoring lots of goals. You know, 92 of his 170-odd goals have been scored in the Championship. Some strike rate, that, isn't it? And Leeds, of course, signed some young winger. In terms of how many strikers and people going out, Tom, I've got to correct you. Not just Lucas Yao's gone out. Matt Penny's gone out on loan, I think, to Bradford. Uh-huh. And Modu Sugu has gone out on loan to Moriense's till the end of the season. So we've got rid of a little bit of the wages there. Hence, people on Twitter are going on about financial fair play and all this. And, you know, the books have been well balanced at Hillsborough. Just to confirm.
Yeah, that's you told, Tom.
All right, I'm told.
Yeah, so Jordan Rhodes, on paper, he's a fantastic signing. On paper, he was a fantastic signing for Middlesbrough last season. What do you think will be different?
Sam, he got them up.
He was on the bench.
He got them over the line. Yeah, he got them over the line. They didn't need a playoff push. What I will say is, he brings goals, and I think what will happen now, you'll see potentially a little change in formation where Forestieri might just play a little bit more wide, or maybe even behind a front pairing of Rhodes and Winall, or Rhodes and Hooper, that kind of thing. So just a slight tweak in the system potentially for Wednesday, and Forestieri probably given a little bit more of a free role, so he can be the creator. Because that's what we are missing. You know, Wednesday's recent troubles have been because of an injury to one player, Kieran Lee. He is the driving force in the middle of the park for us. And, he's missed. So it wouldn't surprise me as well if Rhodes wasn't the only bit of business Wednesday did. Again, another little murmurings of another player as well as Senor Rhodes. But again, that could go right up to the deadline.
Very interesting.
What kind of player will they be looking at? What?
Well,
give us some clues, Naz. Come on.
I've mentioned the position that we're a little bit lacking in. You know, creative midfielder.
Would they be coming in from abroad? Are they in the Premier League?
So I guess who this?
I like it
from an English club. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting.
But anyway, the game I'm at here, by the way, Barnsley.
Yes.
From a personal point of view, let's hope they get absolutely battered tonight. So, and let's hope Ipswich beat Derby as well, and that that makes things okay. But on a serious note, I was at Rotherham at the weekend. Saw the game. It wasn't the best game for Barnsley. They did look a little bit disjointed. But what they did do is they won it. And they won it with the one piece of quality on the day. It was probably, if any other player plays that through ball, if you see a Barcelona player, a Real Madrid player play that through ball that Ryan Kent did, it gets played over and over and over again. Superb through ball to Adam Armstrong. And they won the game 1-0. It's going to be interesting tonight because I think Alex Moat will start tonight for Barnsley. I'm hearing rumours that is going to be the case. Callum Elder, who they've signed on loan from Leicester, hasn't signed in time. But Gethin Jones, obviously, is already settling in. So it's interesting. And also Ryan Hedges as well. I think that's going to get over the line this evening from Swansea. And that's going to be a permanent deal. What I can tell you is Barnsley are not going to be signing Omar Bogle.
There's been talk that Wigan have apparently
as well, sources in the northwest have just told me that Forrest have finally had a bid accepted for Zach Clough. So again, that could happen. Lots of things that are happening either side of this is going to be a tricky game for Barnsley. They've got two home games, this tonight and then Preston at home on Saturday. Of the two, I would say Preston's going to be a more difficult game. This one is unpredictable because you don't really know what Wolves are going to do after that cup win. because despite people talking about Liverpool changes, Paul Lambert made a raft of changes to his side. And, you know, players like Danny Bart and Jack Price and a few others might just come back in. So, it's a tricky one, this, for Barnsley. And with potentially, you know, a debutant in Mowat trying to get to know his team. Can I tell you one player that I can't understand why nobody's gone for? Okay. And Barnsley have lost a few. But Josh Scowen, for me, is just a phenomenal midfielder. Shades of, and I'm gonna say this, and you're gonna laugh. Shades of Iniesta in him.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
A South Yorkshire Iniesta.
Yeah. Yeah. Cracking player. You know, as much as Hourihane was important, I think Scowen alongside him was very good as well.
Hmm. Now, what do you make of the overall business that they've done, the ingoings and outgoings?
I think Paul Heckingbottom's played it perfectly fine, hasn't he? You know, they've got good money for James Bree. Obviously, all of these fees are undisclosed, but we all know ballpark figures, what they've got. They got good money for Hourihane, and he's brought in and strengthened where he needed to in terms of... You know, Hourihane's gone, he brings in Matty James. I think Alex Mowat, I think Tom's right, you know, the point he made at the top of the show where just a change of scenery, just like Tom Lee's, could do Alex Mowat the world of good. And this is the kind of place where he'll be loved. Do you know what I mean? If he's on it, you know, you guys, you know, I need me to tell you, Alex Mowat could be a really, really top player for this club. So James and Mowat, middle of the park, good. Gethin Jones already in. Callum Elder already in to cover at the other side on, in terms of the fullbacks, and Ryan Hedges, another tricky winger, just in case they get an injury to Kent. And there was talk of Marley Watkins putting in a transfer request that got turned down. They've got a good squad here. I just fear for them up top if anything was to happen to Armstrong or Bradshaw, because I think they're still, for me, a striker short.
What did you make of the decision of Leeds to let Mowat go?
Well, I think it's a strange one, but, you know, Leeds have probably got their reasons. It's similar to how when they let Tom Lees go, you know, people will now look back at that and say that was a huge, massive error, wasn't it? Because Tom Lees is now a 5, 10, 15 million pound defender. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, definitely.
He is. He's probably one of the best centre halves in the championship, alongside a few others. Alex Mowat could turn into that 3, 4, 5 million pound midfielder, but sometimes players just need a change of scenery.
I was going to say, I think that, like Tom Lees, that might benefit Mowat in the long run.
I think exactly. That's exactly what it's going to do, Tom. And looking at the business Leeds have done, if they get Grabbing in, I think that's going to be a pretty decent window. I would have said he maybe wanted a little bit of cover at centre half, Gary Monk potentially. I think that's an area where you are a little bit weak still, because if Janssen and Bartley get injured, then I'm not a big fan of Liam Cooper. I don't think he's you know, he's solid, but he's a little bit unreliable as well.
Go on then, Naz. We've got Liam primed and ready to update us on the latest transfer news, which you have done yourself, to be fair, as well. But give us a prediction for tonight. You're hoping Barnes will get beat in your heart of hearts, but what's going to happen tonight?
I think it's going to be a good game, this. I'm actually going to go for a 2-2 draw. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think it's going to be goals end-to-end. Barnsley, when they went to Wolves early on in the season, had turned them over by 4, but I think that was a very different Wolves, and you've got to credit the job Paul Lambert's doing now. He's kind of got them back on the right track. And also, just another quick word, Wolves have got some cracking young players that he's slowly but surely bringing through, and don't be surprised in months and years down the line, some of those young boys from Wolverhampton Wanderers going for big money as well, because he's got a little bit of a production line there, and it's really, really evident, speaking to a couple of the guys, Walter Zenger never watched a youth team game while he was there. Never. Okay? Paul Lambert went to one when he first arrived and said, my God, he's brilliant, he's all right, and he's slowly brought them all through. So, you know, I think they've learnt from their mistakes of Wolverhampton Wanderers, and they could be a force, not this season, but maybe next season in this league.
Indeed. Naz, thanks very much for joining us, and let's hope your boys don't slip up. 8 games in a row Bristol City have lost. Sheffield Wednesday heading there tonight.
Yeah, but see, Sam, that's the kind of run we always, you know, Tom will tell you that you always think on that side, right, that we're the team to end that kind of run, because we always do. We always end people's bad runs, so I'm not expecting anything at Bristol City tonight at all.
Let's hope it's different. Naz, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There we go. Thanks to Naz Premji at Orkwell. Now let's get the latest Yorkshire sport from Liam Williams.
Radio Yorkshire Sport.
Huddersfield Town's Jonathan Hogg insists the Championship's top two are catchable. The Terriers take on promotion contenders Brighton at the John Smith Stadium on Thursday night. David Wagner's side are 9 points behind Newcastle and 11 points behind Brighton. But Hogg says that every team is capable of slipping up.
We had, I think it was 7 or 8 games without a win. I think anyone in this league can go and do that. And like we need them to do that. We need them to have, a slip up or a blip or whatever. And we just need to be on the toes to make sure we catch them when they do.
And Villarreal winger Alfonso Pedraza has completed his move to Leeds United. They won't be registered in time to make his debut against Blackburn tomorrow. More likely will be against Huddersfield Town on Sunday. Move is for a £300,000 loan fee with potential of an £8.5 million deal. On a permanent deal, at the end of the season. Meanwhile, Felipe Morais has left Bradford City by mutual consent. The winger has made 23 appearances for the Bantams this season, though they have largely been from the bench. The Bantams are edging closer to a deal to bring in Charlie White from Carlisle. We're led to believe he's undergoing a medical with a view to signing for the League One club in a £250,000 move. The fee would be the highest amount Bradford have paid for a player since Ashley Ward in 2000. And the big news coming out of Hull today is that Andrew Robertson won't be leaving the KCOM. Tigers boss Marco Silva says the left-back's definitely not leaving before the 11 p.m. transfer deadline. The Scotland man has been linked with a move away throughout this month, though the club are rumoured to be very interested in signing Kamil Grzycki. The winger currently plies his trade at Rennes in France and impressed for Poland at Euro 2016 last year. Silva has brought in one player already today, with Italy defender Andrea Ranocchia joining on loan from Inter Milan. Meanwhile, Chelsea boss Antonio Conte says it's very strange they have to play a key Premier League match at Liverpool on transfer deadline day. The leaders are reportedly after a backup goalkeeper, with Celtic's Craig Gordon heavily linked, so that Asmir Begovic can move to Bournemouth. And with regards to the game, Conte knows they're facing a dangerous opponent.
We must pay great attention because Liverpool is a really good team, and he's in the 6 teams that can fight until the end for to win the title or to find a place in Champions League.
And some news regarding a couple of other Premier League clubs. Liverpool have said they won't accept less than £20 million for defender Mamadou Sakho, who's recently emerged as a transfer target for Crystal Palace. Elsewhere, Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho says neither captain Wayne Rooney nor Ashley Young will leave the club this season. Both have been linked with a move to China, which has its transfer deadline at the end of February rather than today. Mourinho says United's transfer business is done until the summer. And finally, Jordan Rhodes is reported to be close to joining Sheffield Wednesday on a permanent deal. The Middlesbrough forward has been linked with a number of Championship clubs throughout January, albeit largely with loan deals. However, the Owls appear to be on the brink of bringing Rhodes to Hillsborough on a permanent deal worth around £10 million. That's the latest. For more, go to radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Thanks very much, Shirley, and we'll be back on the FL72 next.
What does £29 a month get you these days? With Virgin Media, it gets you... more bang for your bundle. Up to 50 meg super fast broadband with unlimited downloads, and our clever TiVo box for free view and catch up TV. Just £29 a month for 12 months, including line rental. Activation fee £14.99. Search Virgin Media Bundles. Cable streets only. New customers on player TV bundle. Installation fee may apply. Standard pricing after 12 months, subject to credit check and further terms and conditions.
At Oak Furniture Land, everyone knows our furniture is 100% real hardwood,
and it's also 50% off.
But most importantly, it's 100% real hardwood.
Yes, but don't forget, it's also 50% off.
At Oak Furniture Land, quality and price are both important. So make sure you don't miss our January sale, where everything's 100% real hardwood with up to 50% off. The Oak Furniture Land January sale must end this Sunday. Visit oakfurnitureland.co.uk to find your nearest store.
I know what the plough looks like in the night sky. I know how Eskimos kiss. I know a time when a mullet wasn't a fish. And I definitely know this piece of music. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search your state pension and get to know yours.
What do you think? The red or the blue?
I really like the blue. It sets off your eyes really nicely.
I don't know. The red one just feels a bit more exciting. Oh, I can't decide.
Well, they are both lovely helicopters.
Nicer problems to have. It's a mega week. EuroMillions are making 10 guaranteed UK millionaires who will also win a dip into paradise in their own private pool. Get your tickets for Tuesday and Friday's events. EuroMillions. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. Thanks to Liam for the sport headlines. Lots going on. Antanas Premji as well, who is at Oakwell this evening as Barnsley prepare to face Wolverhampton Wanderers. And, well, if results go their way, could find themselves in the top six by the end of play this evening. Sheffield Wednesday, they're on their travels. They head to Bristol City, who have lost 8 games in a row. But as Nas said, you never know what's going to happen in the Championship. You also, Tom, never know what's happening in the FA Cup as well. We'll crack on now into the rest of the Football League news. And there's plenty of fallout, of course, from the FA Cup. And Wolves, as we've just been talking about, beating Liverpool, Brighton being knocked out by Lincoln City. It was two different underdogs there, but both very worthy on their day.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weekend of surprises, of course, with Oxford beating Newcastle as well. Wickham nearly beating Spurs, of course, they were winning with only a few minutes left of normal time. So, as a Leeds fan, why I didn't see it coming on the Sunday because of the kind of the tone that the weekend had, I'll never know. But yeah, like I said, Wolves, fantastic achievement to go to Anfield. Like Naz says, there was talk of, well, Liverpool have made changes, well, so have Wolves, and they've still gone and got the victory. And Lincoln, what fantastic achievement it is for them, securing a place in the fifth round and, of course, beating the team in at the top of the Championship in the process. And then, as well as that, Newcastle, like I said, losing to Oxford. It was just a weekend of surprise results. But in terms of the FA Cup, it's fantastic to see because you're not kind of got your typical top six teams in the next round. I know a few big names are there, but then Sutton and Lincoln making history by being the first, well, two non-league teams in the fifth round together. So it's kind of a good weekend if you're a neutral. But, of course, if you're a fan of one of those kind of bigger clubs, you'd be a bit upset that it didn't go to plan. But yeah, it's an interesting weekend.
Extremely interesting. And the other thing, the big shock of the round.
The big shock is
Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers.
They won.
And they're probably well on their way to a Wembley Cup final now. And Owen Coyle's going to win them the FA Cup. So who knows? Who knows?
A very good win for Blackburn. Did you see the crowd and the protests and everything? Obviously, Lancashire rivals uniting against horrible honours.
I, like many other people, I thought, of course, great protest, which means that it's a poor crowd. Now, there's one man who thought it was quite a good crowd, actually, and you'll be surprised to find out that man is Owen Coyle. I wonder what he has to say about
excellent. It brings us nicely, perfectly segued by Tom, into the 30-second Coyle. As ever, it's your turn to, well, see if you can solve the puzzle. How many words can Owen Coyle fit into 30 seconds? He'd slowed it right down last week. It was probably the calmest we ever heard from him. But how is he feeling after a big win in the FA Cup?
With over 9,000 fans here today. I think there was 8,000 when there was a quarter-final replay a few years back, so that was a very, very good crowd for this stage of the competition, and we want to thank those fans for coming back, you know, coming here today, getting behind the players and helping them through, which was always going to be a difficult cup tie, because as a big favourite, you know, if you don't do your job, then of course you're open to the criticism of being a shock and everything that goes with it. And when you do, then people say, well, you're expected to win anyway. But that's why it was really important that we had that consummate professionalism today, which we did.
Oh, perfect. Nice edited as well.
He kind of catches you out, I think, where you think, all right, he's nice and slow and easy this week when he talks about the fantastic turnout of 9,000. And, catches you out if you're trying to keep count at home. But, of course, a visit of Manchester United in the next round, where we'll see two world-class managers in Mourinho and Coyle go head-to-head. Should be good.
I can't wait.
Should be good.
Can't wait for the mind games to start ahead of that Titanic Cup clash. You said the magic of the FA Cup is dead. Owen Coyle certainly very happy. Elsewhere, tell me about this one, Tom. We're talking transfer news, of course. It's deadline day, but out of nowhere, Scunny.
Yeah.
Scunthorpe United get a huge bid from China.
Yes, this came today and someone said, oh, this is the best transfer news of the day. This is probably the best transfer news that's been around for a long time. That we're talking about China, you know, the Chinese football, the money that's going into the Chinese Super League and the world-class players that they're trying to bring. Well, they've had one club, Henan Jiang FC, have seen a £4 million bid for Scunthorpe striker Kevin Van Veen rejected, and apparently Scunthorpe want £8 million if a deal was going to come about. But the one, I don't know why, the first thought for me, not before the, well, this is ridiculous, they're paying £4 million, is how's he going to get to China before the deadline? Surely they've left it a bit late. Scunthorpe to China
Go to China? Can they not do some kind of medical...
I don't know.
Here at a facility.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how that is. But, yeah, why, out of all kind of the world-class scouts and money that they've got there, that they went, Scunthorpe got this League One striker, he'll be fantastic then. I don't quite understand it. But, it's a good one. It's one of those that you really do enjoy when these transfer stories come about.
Yeah, a lot of these kind of Chinese... deals that seem to come out of nowhere always seem to centre around a small group of agents who are kind of connected into China. So it came out of nowhere a couple of weeks ago. Chris Wood was
Chris Wood,
the replacement for the failed Diego Costa bid, and now Kevin Van Veen.
Actually, Chris Wood won't be on the move because, number one, it's 6:45 on deadline, so I doubt he's going to be. But they've opted to go for Chelsea legend Pato, I believe, the club that were attempted to sign him have looked elsewhere. But, yeah, just a bizarre one when some clubs are throwing £80 million bids around and others are looking to League One. It just seems a bizarre transfer kind of system that they've got in place in that league.
Yeah, very, very strange. Glenn Murray, he has joined Brighton. Finally.
Yes, on a permanent deal. £3 million, I think, was the fee that was mentioned. Fantastic deal for Brighton. Really, he's proven that he's kind of a vital player to them if they are to seal promotion to the Premier League this season. So, yeah, very cheap fee. I know he's not young, but for someone who you know is going to get you goals, fits into the system because, of course, he's been there previously. He's been there all season. I think that's a very good move, and, you know, it's certainly strengthened that Brighton side, or kept that strength there for what is going to be quite a tight running on promotion at the end of the season.
Elsewhere, tell me about this deal you've got here, Nottingham Forest with Wolves / Benfica.
Yes, this is bizarre. It's subloaned, I've seen the term.
Subloaned?
Yes, the term that I've seen used is subloaned. So, of course, Teixeira's on loan from Benfica at Wolves.
Yes.
But Wolves have now loaned him to Forest, despite him still being a Benfica player. I think that's kind of the basic.
Okay.
So I don't think he actually technically got recalled. I think they literally went Wolves to Forest. So subloaned is the phrase that's been used. But yeah, quite a bizarre one, I think. An interesting one regardless. But
yeah,
subloaned. I've never heard of that phrase before, but apparently it's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, so there we are.
It is now a new trend. what else is going on in the world of transfers? Let's cross to you at the transfer desk for the latest.
The transfer desk, which is the same desk I sit at, but it's the special theme transfer desk. Andros Townsend is at Bournemouth with Crystal Palace tonight. And he was reported kind of all window, really, but especially today, the really gathering pace that he was going to go to Newcastle. Well, he's a bit far away from Newcastle if he's going to be in Bournemouth. He looks to be with the squad as well. So, of course, still time for that deal to get done, but they've left it incredibly late if something is going to come about as well. And we've just been speaking about Wolves. Well, Sky Sports literally have just broke that they're close to agreeing, or Wolves are close to agreeing a deal to sign Blackburn midfielder Ben Marshall. He's on his way to Wolverhampton now to discuss the terms and undergo a medical. Player, I think, that's been linked with him under Lambert since he took over. Of course, the Blackburn link is there. So, yeah seems to be a few late deals or not late deals coming through.
Bradford City as well doing something.
Yeah, there. Jacob Hansen joining from Huddersfield on a permanent deal. And then, I think as Naz said there, Matthew Penny joining from Sheffield Wednesday on loan. So, a couple of late deals for Bradford, as you know, we spoke about them before, as they look to try and kind of push towards the top two in League One.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Tom. We shall cross to the transfer desk before we finish at seven. We'll also cross to the City Ground as well, where Bobby Beavers is in situ. Yes, the guy off the racing. Is that the football the tonight? But first, let's do Tom's original feature. Yeah. We've had the 30-second coil. Tom, clear your throat. Well done.
here we go.
It's time for Good Days, Bad Days. Yes, the premise is a very simple one. Tom tells us who's had a good day, a bad day from the previous weekend, with a twist this weekend, this week, sorry, because we, of course, have the FA Cup.
We do have the FA Cup.
The Championship, League One and League Two, as ever. Tom, off you go.
Well, there was Championship football this week, but there was five games, and when you've got full fixtures of kind of FA Cup games to choose from, that's what I'm going to go for. And it was a good day in the FA Cup for, we spoke about them already, Lincoln City knocking Brighton and Hove Albion out of the competition with a 3-1 victory. In a bad day, which I didn't think I'd be doing for a while, considering how well they've been doing, Leeds United, weakened Leeds side, were outplayed by non-league Sutton United, who will face Arsenal at home in the next round on that artificial pitch. Should be a great tie for them. Dropping into League One, a good day for Charlton. 10 men Athletic beat third place Bolton away, a bit of a tongue twister from home, to move up to 11th in the League One table. And it was a bad day for Peterborough United. Signed Craig McHale-Smith back today, but that couldn't help them as a 4-0 loss at home to MK Dons now sees them 4 points off the playoff places. Dropping into League Two, good day for Notts County. They ended a 13-game run without a win with victory over Crawley Town. And then finally, bad day for this week is Hartlepool. They lost to a Newport side who hadn't won in 12 games. So that's good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. We shall be crossing to the City Ground next to catch up with Mr. Bobby Beavers. He's there watching Rotherham this evening. We'll hear from Bobby in a few moments' time.
To work smart, you've got to think smart, which is why at Npower, we want you to think about the long term. We're recruiting now for new people to join our team of full-time smart meter installers, enabling you to achieve a successful and secure career in smart metering. Apply now at npowerjobs.com to discover the tools, ongoing training, and fantastic benefits.
npowerjobs.com. Join the smart journey.
Well, I'll tell you something, lovely.
What's that, Mummy?
We've cleaned up on these pound stretcher savings.
Oh, yay!
Now we've just got to go home and clean up.
Boo.
Oh, there's a treat in it for you.
Ooh, yay again!
With Oven Pride and 64 Wash Comfort Fabric Conditioner, just £2.49 each, 18-roll Cosy Soft Toilet Tissue, 2 for £5, and Airwick Fresh Matic, down to £1.99 from £4. Clean up some amazing deals today.
Just pop to pound stretcher.
Change is coming.
Change your journey.
Change your routine.
Change your scene.
Change your crew.
Change your talent.
Change your fears.
Dreams.
Limits.
Theories.
Boundaries.
Memories.
Hopes.
Change your summer at ncsyes.co.uk.
The new Vauxhall Mokka X is absolutely 100% about you. Your music streamed, your devices connected with 4G Wi-Fi, and it's yours to drive for just £239 a month with advance rental. The sportier, bolder new Vauxhall Mokka X. It's your life. Go drive it. Search Mokka X offers. Personal contract hire offer on Mokka X Active 1.4 turbo manual front wheel drive in metallic paint. Advance rental 3346 plus 35 months at 239. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 24,000 over 36 months at 7.3 pence per mile. You will not own the car. Wi-Fi requires OnStar activation, available as standard on selected models. 4G coverage limited. T's and C's apply. Register before the 1st of April 2017.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72. We've still got some transfer news to bring you before 7 o'clock. We'll cross over to the transfer desk and Tom Carnduff. But right now we're crossing to the City Ground where Bobby Beavers is in situ for Rotherham's trip to Nottingham Forest tonight. How are you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, good evening, Sam. Very well, thank you. And you?
Yeah, really good. Tell us about your surroundings at the City Ground, and also you've got that all-important team news for us.
I certainly have. Well, I can tell you now, Sam, that it's currently raining here at Nottingham, but don't let dampen your spirit, because it's a cracking evening of football to enjoy. Nottingham Forest taking on Rotherham United. When these two teams met earlier on in the season at the New York Stadium, it actually finished Rotherham United 2, Nottingham Forest 2. Rotherham actually came from behind. They were trailing 2-1, and Rotherham pulled one back under John Taylor, who starts tonight as well, to make it 2-2. Rotherham are going tonight for the 4-5-1 formation. We know that Lee Camp is out injured, so it's Richard O'Donnell in goal. The back four consists of Stephen Kelly at right back, Joe Matic is at left back, and then it's Richard Ward and Ajayi, who's the king of the sand on loan from Cardiff City. He makes his debut for the Millers tonight, making up that centre-back role alongside Richard Ward. It's five across the midfield here this evening for the Millers, and it is going to be right midfield of Anthony Ford. Left midfield is going to be John Taylor, and then it's going to be Will Volks, Tony Ajayi, and also Richard Smallwood making up that centre midfield. And then up front, it's going to be Danny Ward on his own. So Danny Ward playing that lone striker role. Saw a fair few hours to go before transfer deadline day. Is Danny Ward going to be on the go? Apparently last week they turned down a £2 million bid for this player. But he's up front tonight. He's Rotherham United's top goal scorer for the season. But hopefully he can score a few goals tonight, Sam, and bring 3 points back to the New York Stadium.
Bobby, you're an optimistic fellow at the best of times. You're a Rotherham United fan. You need to be optimistic to be a Rotherham fan this year. But what's your overall thoughts now? Obviously, since Paul Warne's gone in there, they're still way off Bristol City, who face Sheffield Wednesday tonight in 21st place. Do they still have a squeak, Rotherham, of getting out of it? Can they have another miracle?
Definitely not, Sam. In answer to your question, no. Unfortunately, we need to be realistic. I know mathematically, you know, we can get out of it, but we need to go on a big winning run, which I don't think will happen. We need to be honest now. We're going to be playing League One football next season. You know, we're 11 points adrift at the bottom of the league. So what we need to do now is just enjoy the rest of the Championship games. You know, we've had a really good spell at it. What we need to do now, though, Sam, is we need to stay focused. We need to pick up points as and where we can. And then in the summer, we need to recruit, and we need to build a team to get us back out of League One. Hopefully, I want to say we could go for automatic promotion. But, you know, if we come up through the playoffs like we did a couple of years ago under Steve Evans, I'll happily take that. But, no, in all fairness, Sam, we need to be realistic now. I know mathematically we can get out of it, but realistically, it's mission impossible. So we need to, you know, be honest with ourselves and say we're going down to League One, and let's just enjoy the rest of the Championship season and just pick up points along the way.
What about tonight? Can Rotherham pick up points away at Nottingham Forest?
You know what, Sam? I'm optimistic tonight. I think we can walk away with a point. You know, I'm interested to see how Jay goes on. The guy they've got on loan from Cardiff City. He makes his debut at centre half alongside Richard Watt. So I'm really interested to see how we go on tonight. But if I'm being honest, Sam, I can see this being a draw. I'm going to go for Forest 1, Rotherham 1.
Excellent. Bobby, thank you very much. We shall catch up with you later. Enjoy your night at the City Ground.
Cheers, Sam.
There we go. Bobby Beavers. There had to be some optimism somewhere.
There's got to be.
That was the most negative I've ever heard, Bobby.
I was very surprised when he said that was it, that they were down. But, you know, I think there's optimism and then there's kind of being realistic as well. So, yeah, yeah, you can't really say much more about Rotherham at the moment.
Indeed not. We shall take a final very quick break here on the FL 72 and then we shall head back over to the Tom Carnduff transfer desk. It's got its own name now.
Here's one for Alessia Sanazzaro, co-founder of Chusic. Her app finds beats for happy feet. She's rocking her own business, yeah? But every leading lady needs backup. And by GoDaddy, she found it. With domain and web hosting to put her business online, now she's got investors putting their hands up in the air.
Go Chusic, GoDaddy. Taking your business online.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. The final throws of the FL 72 this evening. Of course, it's transfer deadline day. There is action as well up and down the country across the divisions. Tom, though, we're crossing to you. We want some final nuggets ahead of 7 o'clock. What is going on out there?
What is going on? Well, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang apparently wants to leave Borussia Dortmund, so that's not football league, so it doesn't matter.
Unless he's going to Wolves or Blackburn.
Oh, potentially. Just that kind of draw of Owen Coyle might be enough to get any world-class striker.
We've got the cash in for Ben Marshall now.
Exactly. Who knows? But one that's coming out is Lewis Graben is apparently Reading have kind of hijacked that deal.
What?
And he could be, and the reports are that they are now favourites to sign him of, where it's a kind of a time thing, I suppose, going all the way to Leeds. Not too sure, but apparently Reading have now hijacked that deal.
Of course, Leeds United, if you've not been listening for the last hour, it was heavily touted earlier in the hour that he was on his way to Leeds.
Yes, indeed. And then Conor Hourihean and Birkir Bjarnason start for Villa tonight. And there's talk that they're going to announce the Scott Hogan deal before kickoff tonight and before kickoff in tonight's game against Brentford. So that, I'm sure that's quite a nice little move of him. But yeah, and then addition Jamesbury on the bench.
Last year with I'm sure Burnley, when they signed Andre Gray from Brentford, that was the next game.
Potentially.
I'm pretty
sure.
Potentially
be, but for Brentford, I mean, you've got two contrasts here, where Brentford have done fantastic business out of the last two strikers that they've sold in Hogan and Gray. And Villa, how much have they now spent on strikers? You've got Kadir, McCormack, Hogan. That's 40-plus million right there on three strikers, one of which isn't going to get a look in under Bruce. So, yeah, bizarre, but you'd be expecting them to challenge at the top end of the league with that money.
Indeed, yes. What will Steve Bruce now do? Aston Villa in 13th place at the moment. Can all these new signings shoot them up the division into possible playoff contention? Tom, thank you very much. Sterling work, as ever, not just with the show in general, but also on the Tom Carnduff transfer desk. That's all for us tonight on the FL 72. Mr. Tom Maguire is next with your evening show.